Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. Achieving my long-term goals is more about creating healthy habits and less about quick fixes. And that's why I love both intermittent fasting and daily harvest. Tim Spector, a gut health expert and founder of Zoe, and Dr. B, gastroenterologist and author of Fiberfueled, recommend that you aim for at least 30 unique plant foods per week. Daily Harvest helps make it easy. One of my favorite options is the sweet potato and wild rice hash harvest bowl. With Daily Harvest, I'm getting tons of plant-based options built on organic fruits and vegetables that are easy to prep and free of weird ingredients such as fillers, seed oils, and added sugars. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time only, go to dailyharvest.com/ifstories to get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/ifstories for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/ifstories. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 376 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today, I'm here with Lauren Lopez. Lauren lives in Mountaintop, Pennsylvania, where she is a part-time registered nurse. She also teaches Pilates and stays home with her 7-year-old son. Welcome, Lauren.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's great to talk to you today. And I always love to have medical professionals on the podcast because, you know, we know intermittent fasting is the health plan with the side effect of weight loss. But for some reason, when medical professionals understand it, you're like, all right, now I understand why this is such a healthy way to live. That brings a lot of credibility to intermittent fasting as a lifestyle.
It does, for sure.
You know, I like to start by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting and when was that?
Well, I feel like everybody has the short story and the long story, but the short story is I found you in 2018 when I had started yet again a weight loss journey the year prior. In 2017, I had started losing weight after I had had my son. So he was born in 2016, and I didn't do anything that first year. Once he got to 11 months, I was nursing. So I felt once he got to 11 months, I was like, I need to start eating better, exercising, and getting back into shape. When I delivered him, I was 212 pounds. I had gestational diabetes, and I just was not my healthiest. So when I started becoming a mother, breastfeeding, all that was very overwhelming. I was, as much as I thought I was prepared, I was a labor and delivery nurse for my first 3 years of my of my career. So I was like dumbfounded by the fact that I wasn't quite prepared to be a mother, you know, bring the baby home.
That is such
an
important. It
sounds really silly.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't sound silly. And I actually think that we as women need to tell that story all the time about how it is going to be hard. And you're going to, because, you know, we always hear the fairy tale. You bond with your child and it's love at first sight. Then you magically breastfeed as nature intended and it's easy and you just sleep when the baby is sleeping. I mean, yeah, all of that is true. But we don't tell the
it
other part.
Sounds good.
You
it
are going to love your baby
good on paper.
You're going to bond. It's you're you know, but you'll feed the baby. But it's hard. So yeah, we get it.
It was. I had a rough pregnancy, and then I also had a really rough delivery. I delivered at the place where I worked, so it was great, and also it was terrible because they didn't want to. I should have had a C-section, long story short. I pushed for 4 hours. It was just, but in the end, I had a healthy baby. But like I said, motherhood was more difficult than I anticipated. And I was really stressed in the beginning. So I dropped a lot of weight as soon as I had my son, Jack. But then I started gaining weight back as soon as I went back to work. And I was, oh my gosh, I can eat hot food. And most of my career I spent doing cardiac, open heart surgery in the cardiac operating room. And I love my job, but it's very demanding. So I felt like when I got back to work, I was able to like drink hot coffee, eat hot food, and I ate poorly once I went back to work, which just sounds silly. And so that first year after I had him, I gained all of the weight back that I lost. Not all of the weight back, but I got back up to like 187, 189, and I'm 5'3". So that just felt like a lot on my frame. And so I started in 2017, May of 2017, when he was almost 1 year old, I started keto or low carb. That was very popular.
That was so 2017. Of course, now in 2020, your episode comes out 2024, carnivore is the new thing. But in 2017, everybody was doing keto.
Yes. And yep. I had done low carb in the past. So if we go back, I was a athletic, skinny kid, adolescence, you know, when I hit puberty, I gained a little bit of weight, but I was able to keep that under control. I did cheerleading. I was doing competitive cheerleading. I was always active. And then when I graduated from nursing school, I had done a stint of low carb. So I graduated from nursing school in 2004. So I'm going to be a nurse 20 years in 2024, which is kind of crazy too. And in nursing school, it was the same thing. I gained weight from stress, and so I lost to doing low carb in 2004. But from 2004 until 2016, when I had my son, I went in ebbs and flows of diet history. So I would do Weight Watchers. I did Jenny Craig. I did almost everything. I did MediFast, which was, you know, a shake, a sensible dinner, and like bars and shakes and like Frankenfood, like you say. It wasn't real food. But I was always never able to, I was really good at losing weight. I could lose weight with the best of them. But then once it was time to be done losing weight and maintaining, I did not know how to do that. And I always put it back on. And so I was always either like in a dieting phase or not dieting phase from that time period. So when 2017 came, I was like, I know I can do low carb. Keto was the craze. And I really jumped head first into keto. I was like very, very dedicated. And for 7 months, I don't think I had a quote unquote cheat meal. I did what I was supposed to do. And so I went from 189 to like 128 in that first.
So your body did really well. Your body responds well to keto.
It definitely did. And then so in 2018, we moved. And for some reason, I still did keto. I had maintained my weight. I thought I was intermittent fasting, right? Because keto talks about them going hand in hand, but I wasn't. I was having apple cider vinegar in my water in the morning. I was having like the fat coffee. Gosh, now it's like escaping me. What's
bulletproof coffee?
Yes, that's it. Exactly. Yeah. I was having butter and heavy cream and Splenda in my afternoon. I thought I was still fasting and I was only, you know, eating that one meal in the afternoon usually, but I wasn't. And so somehow I found your podcast with Melanie in 2018, November of 2018. And when I listened to probably one of the first episodes, you talked about clean fasting. and how even flavored water wasn't okay. And I was like, can't be right. I've been fasting this whole time. Like, what is she talking about? So I joined your Facebook group when you had that, and you were so kind and you answered my question right away. Cause I used to drink that seltzer, that polar flavored seltzer water that had all the fun flavors. But I drank that all day long until I, you know, quote unquote ate. But you were so lovely and kind when I asked, oh, I can't drink that. And you're like, no, you can't have any flavors. I was drinking, you know, flavored coffee, black coffee, but, you know, the pods that have cinnamon or whatever.
Yep.
And so you had probably answered that question for the millionth time, but you were very nice. And so then I kind of dove headfirst into all of your other podcasts and listened.
Well, I just want to say thank you for taking it well, because sometimes, I mean, look, I answered those questions a million times. I was an elementary teacher. I got used to answering the same questions over and over for 28 years, but sometimes I would answer the questions in the Facebook group and people did not like the answer. They would get really mad. So,
I didn't love that you said that.
Well, okay, thank you for not getting really mad though. But I do remember those days. It was all the time. But
I do really well with rules. So, you know, that's why I feel like intermittent fasting has been good for me, because if I have a rule, I follow it.
Mm-hmm. That's good. But, you know, I may have answered the question 1,000 times, but I only had answered you once. So that's why I always answered it as if it was the first time.
Well, anyway, I can tell you're a very good teacher.
Well, that doesn't mean I was perfect. You do get frustrated when you've told the same kid the same thing 50 times. That's when you're tired of it.
True.
All right. So you joined the groups. You got the bad news.
Yes. And so then but it was good because then I was able to, like, you know, the green tea I was drinking from Starbucks, I know that that dropped my blood sugar and gave me an insulin response because I didn't feel good after I drank that.
Right.
But I thought, oh, I'm still fasting. But it really got me closer and, like, more in tune with my body and what I could eat and what I couldn't, what I could drink and what I couldn't. You know, like, I couldn't do that on when I was fasting, and I couldn't do cold brew. A lot of people love cold brew, but that gave me the same feeling of, like, a crash, like I need food. And so I've been clean fasting since 2018 at minimum of 16 hours. I was still doing keto for a while. And I really, you know, I'm one of those people who's like, oh, a little bit of fasting's great. A lot of fasting's better. So I tried to be strict. I tried to do one meal a day for a long time. And like I said, I was in maintenance that whole time, and I've always been in maintenance. But as I've gotten older, I was 34 when I started fasting. Now I'm 40. My body has needed different things, and I've tried to listen.
I love that you're talking about this, because I think that's really important. My body is very different now. By the time this comes out, it's 2024. I started fasting in 2014, and my 54-year-old body is not the same as my 45-year-old body.
Totally.
Yeah.
And if you had asked me back then if I would have ever eaten an apple or a grape, and I know it sounds so silly to say that, but then I wouldn't have eaten anything that was not a low carb food. And I don't eat that way anymore. Spoiler alert.
Okay. Well, you know, I was going to say you could eat keto, and apparently you can now have keto hot dog buns, because I was at the grocery store yesterday and I was with Will. You know, we'll always be their mamas even when they're 24 years old themselves. So I'm like, he came over and I was like, do you have any food at home? And he said, no. So I was like, well, let's go to the grocery store. So I was buying him what he wanted. Bread and peanut butter were in the bread aisle. And I saw keto buns. And I'm like, we have lost the plot.
Yes. And that's the thing. I could make anything, quote unquote, keto, but it was really unhealthy to eat it that way. And I just didn't see it. I had blinders on. I was
right.
Just like, no, this is how I eat. This is how my body reacts. Well, I have to, this is the only way I can maintain my weight. I was always, I was just petrified that, you know, I wasn't going to be able to maintain my weight if I didn't eat that way. And of course, with the intermittent fasting. But somewhere along the way, I really started to ease up my rules about food and try to have, you know, if we go way back, I've always had a kind of unhealthy relationship with food. So I really wanted in my, you know, adult years to heal that relationship. And be able to enjoy food and not have so many strict rules around it. And I do feel like intermittent fasting has given me that ability to, you know, delay, don't deny, eat what I want, but within reason. I know what foods work well for me and what doesn't. And sometimes I eat the foods that don't work well for me because I want to eat it. But I know that then maybe I'll feel a little bit puffier, or I'll like have, you know, aches and pains that I don't really need. So I really have really tried to focus more on, you know, real whole foods. I still tend to eat, I don't think I eat lower carb because I eat a lot of fruit now. I eat a ton of fruit and vegetables. I do a lot of Ezekiel products. I love Ezekiel muffins, and I replace them with, you know, bread a lot of times.
I love them too. I had some yesterday.
I think they're great. And, you know, like a little bit of like, you know, natural peanut butter with, I love spicy things. So I put hot honey on there with apples. Ooh. It's like the best dessert. And I've just really been able to enjoy, I really enjoy food. And when people say, oh, I don't even think about food, I really don't, but I do at the same time. Like intermittent fasting is giving me that flexibility. Yesterday, I had such a busy day and I didn't have to think about food because I know what to do. I know I'm going to eat my one meal. And yesterday it was like a 90-minute window, but that's not my every day. But I still do think about food a lot.
Well, food is amazing. And I think about it a lot too. But you know, I always did, even before I was an intermittent faster, I thought about food a lot, right?
Same.
Yeah. I think it's normal to do that. But with intermittent fasting, we may still think about it, but when our window is closed, we don't have that, should I eat, should I not, should I eat, should I not? We know the answer is not time yet. So I want to go back a little bit and really dig into how you eased up along the way, because we can get so caught up in a paradigm. You were maintaining, you were at your goal. Really, I guess for the first time in your adult life that you really were just easily maintaining, right?
Absolutely.
We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency. And in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories. Promo code IFSTORIES10 to get your magnesium breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/IFSTORIES. Promo code IFSTORIES10. If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know what a fan I am of Dr. Tim Spector and the work he's doing with Zoe. I was first introduced to his work in 2015, and I've been following his research ever since. What I love most about the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast is that they have weekly interviews with world-leading experts who explain how their latest research can benefit your health. Recently, I was thrilled to finally meet him face-to-face as we recorded an episode for the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast, and this episode aired on April 11th. We had a chance to talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study, and I had the opportunity to explain the clean fast to Jonathan, which may explain why he didn't enjoy his prior experiences with fasting. Search for Zoe Science and Nutrition on your podcast player or on YouTube to hear the latest episode, and don't forget to look for the April 11th episode to hear me, Tim, and Jonathan talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study. And you got to your goal through keto, low carb, and then you maintained it with incorporating intermittent fasting along with keto, low carb. So I totally understand the fear being, I got here eating low carb. Low carb is what my body likes. It's what my body prefers. If I add back carbs, I'm going to balloon back up to 200 pounds again or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. So you probably had those thoughts and those feelings.
I did. I didn't think that I could do that, but I really wanted to, you know, I wanted to eat all the same food that I was feeding my son. You know, I wanted to be a good example for him. And so he, you know, as much as my husband has tolerated all of my wacky food choices over the years and the things that I've tried to feed them and, you know, like, you know, fake cauliflower mashed potatoes, which are not good.
No.
I eat real mashed potatoes now, you know, and so it just evolved. I can't say that something specifically happened in 2020. Of course, we all know COVID. We did a lot more comfort eating. I did a lot more comfort drinking of alcohol than I wanted to. And I did put on like about 10-ish, 12-ish pounds then. And November of 2020 is when I realized that. So it was like March to November. We were home a lot more. Obviously, my husband's a trauma surgeon and an ICU doc, and I was petrified of him coming home and bringing us something with my little boy. So it was just a very stressful time. And like I said, I think we all baked a lot. I overate, and my window got longer.
That happened to me. And I don't weigh, you know, I don't weigh, but I do remember my honesty pants getting tight. And in the middle of maybe the summer of 2020, that's when I pulled back out my fasting app and start, okay, I'm like, I can't have this window creep. I can't just eat all this all the time. So I started timing my eating window again for just a little while. But had I been weighing, maybe I went up 10 pounds. I don't really know, but it was enough for me to feel it in my clothes. But
yeah. And I didn't want to weigh during that time, which is always in the back of my head. Like, I know that I'm doing something kind of naughty by like not being accountable to myself. So I did get on the scale. And so like I normally weighed myself this morning because I know people would want to know. I don't love weighing myself either because it is kind of a mind game, but I do still weigh myself. So I was 132 this morning, and I, you know, my window is like 128 to 135 is kind of like,
your maintenance range.
Right. I check in with myself about once a week, sometimes more often, but I can get obsessive over the scale, and I have in the past. And if you ask me if that 3 in front of, you know, the one being in the 130s bothers me, it does for some.
I get it.
Annoying.
Yeah.
But it also, it's liberating and being like, I'm the healthiest I've ever been, most active I've ever been. And haven't had to buy any new kind of sizes of clothes in forever. And so as far as I feel, so that number is definitely losing its power. And as silly as that sounds, having the, you know,
it doesn't sound silly at all. No, that's my biggest struggle because, you know, my story, when I got back, I haven't weighed since 2017, but I hadn't weighed for a year, and then I got on the scale and I had a 3 and I thought it should be a 2. Exactly. I was like 100. I don't remember if it was 130 point something or 131 point something, but I thought it would be 120 something and it wasn't. And that was when I threw my scale away because it made me so mad because again, same like you. I had actually gone down a couple jean sizes over that year. I was expecting to be rewarded with a number. But as the years go on and you feel more confident in your clothes, you can start to detach from that too.
Yes. And I've detached a lot from it, but I also know myself, and I know that being accountable means that I need to check my weight every so often because, you know, as much as intermittent fasting feels like the miracle that I've been like waiting my whole life for, I can still gain weight if I'm not, you know, watching. I'm not, I don't have to be crazy about it, but I just, it's a constant knowing of what I'm doing.
And I think that's really important because you got to have something, you know. I don't weigh on the scale, but I do have checks. I measure my waist. I have that honesty skort that I don't wear out, but I try it on. It's a Lilly Pulitzer skort, and I try it on. And whether I have a muffin top or how hard it is to zip it, that's how I know. I'm like, all right, my skirt's feeling a little snug. And then I know it's time to just tighten it up a little bit. So you added carbs back in. How did you do that?
June of 2020 is when I realized I had gained some weight, and I started to kind of, like you said, check my window. I've always tracked my window. I use the app, I guess it's the a window. I forget what app it is that I use. Zero, that's what it is.
Okay.
And I still do that to this day. I'm very, like I said, I'm very like rule oriented. So when I hit that and it says it's closed, I don't think I've ever reopened my window because I don't want to have to restart my fast, as silly as that sounds. So I reined everything back in, and in March of 2021, I stopped drinking alcohol altogether. I've kind of had a tumultuous relationship with it my whole adult life, where it was getting, it wasn't serving me anymore.
Right.
It wasn't doing me any favors. You know, being a mom and then drinking at night seems like a good idea until you have a headache the next morning and you have to, like, there's no sleeping in and there's no not momming that day, especially when you're the default parent like I am. And so I took a break from alcohol. I listened to Annie Grace's book. Everybody talks about how great she is.
This Naked Mind. It's a great book.
Yes. And I did her 90-day alcohol-free challenge, and I really liked how I felt. And then I dove into other sober living podcasts and books. Laura McCallum wrote a book called We Are the Luckiest, and I really resonated. Her story resonated with me. And so I could go on and on about not drinking alcohol.
Because I think I was on a podcast with her one time. Lauren.
Oh, were you?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Laura McCallum is her name.
I think we were guests on a podcast, but I remember her being alcohol free. And I think we both left Facebook at the same time.
Okay. She's not on Facebook, I don't think, anymore either.
That's why she wrote a post. It was right when I was leaving Facebook. She wrote a post like leaving the bouncy house or something. I was like, I like her, but yeah, she's great. But you know, just like your journey, I feel so much better without drinking. Took me longer than it took you to get to, I like fought it for a long, long time, but I haven't had any alcohol since June.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think I'm done.
It's everybody's own journey. Honestly, if I listen to, she has, Annie Grace has her own podcast, and I listened to a lot of their stories, and one of the women said, you know, I never thought this would be, and I was like, yeah, I would never. Alcohol is the only thing that's keeping me afloat as a mom, and you know, but it was really not. And so I have been sober for 2 years and 7 months.
Awesome.
And it was then that I started to liberate my food a little bit. I felt like I took away those extra calories, that extra sugar. I let my body kind of acclimated to not having that. And so then I started eating things that I've really all have wanted for a really long time, which sounds interesting, like an apple or pear or, you know, things that I wasn't having eating keto. I had granola, which I love, you know, a certain brand of granola. And so, and I didn't gain weight. I was still fasting. I was still doing what I was doing. And I was just kind of shocked that I wasn't gaining weight. And so I felt better. I had more energy for my workouts. Part of kind of taking away alcohol and doing all those things made me kind of prioritize everything as far as having a schedule and a structure to living healthy. You know, I was eating well. I wanted to make sure I was still exercising and, you know, building muscle and as I was getting older. So a strong exercise, you know, routine was important to me, but I always worked out fasted. But then bringing some carbs in during my eating window really made me feel better the next day working out.
Yeah, I think that's really important because we can get so caught up in the dogma of a lifestyle and, you know, what people say about it. And, mm-hmm. you know, I hope we're coming out of the carbs are the devil enemy time. I feel like we maybe Diet Doctor, are you familiar with the Diet Doctor website?
Yes.
Dr. Andre, what's his name? Andreas, and his last name starts with an E. He's now moving towards more of a satiety mm-hmm. approach and less carbs are bad. And I know he's taken some flack from that in the keto community, but the whole idea that, oh, carbs are not just carbs, right? I mean, you're not over there eating Pop-Tarts and...
No, no. You know. I haven't had a Pop-Tart in a really long time. I could if I wanted to.
You could if you wanted to.
Good to me.
but we are so caught up in the idea. And I think that we've blamed, we've blamed carbs when it's really ultra processed foods and junk foods that are the problem. But, you know, we look at all the societies in the world, the cultures, the populations that love food, are healthy, age well. They eat seasonally what's around them. They eat lots of beautiful plant foods and everything. Mm-hmm. They eat everything.
Yes.
So I'm glad that you have found that you do have more energy for your fasted workout.
I definitely, and I do pretty strenuous workouts. My eating window is normally in the afternoon, so I'm well into my fast and then, you know, the next morning when I'm working out, and I do all kinds of working out, but a lot of strength training, and then I also teach Pilates, so I do that a couple times a week. So yeah, I felt really liberated when I started to be able to eat what I wanted, what I really, really wanted. And what I really wanted wasn't bad food. It was just food I wasn't supposed to be eating on that designated diet. And so it really felt good to not be on any designated diet. I do from time to time still have my Fitness Pal. I make sure I'm eating enough protein a lot of times. I don't track every day by any means, but sometimes I'm just curious and I do track a few times a week to make sure that I'm, you know, eating mostly for protein and fiber is what I'm looking for. I eat pretty much everything now. And I try to eat seasonally. We eat a lot of squash right now and apples. We went apple picking last week and those kinds of food. But yeah, I make my own salad dressings all the time now because it's so easy and it tastes much better.
So much.
A lot of that seems like a small thing, but I think it really matters because I'm really paying attention to ingredients now. And whereas when I did keto, I would eat as much cheese and as much bacon and as much whatever, because it, as long as it wasn't a carb, I could eat it. And so it's just made me pay attention more to ingredients, eating more nutritionally, and just eating more balanced for everything.
I think that's important. I'm glad that you're focusing on fiber because we do need those plant fibers to feed our gut microbiome. We need the phytonutrients. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, listening to the Zoe podcast, Tim Spector, all of his work, you know, we realize that there are so many things that we get from plants that we don't even know what they all are. But that for our best health, we want to include those things, you know, and I can't believe that cheese and bacon is going to give you all the things that we're getting from.
I still do eat that apple. Stuff.
I'm not saying not to, but if you're like, you know, but think about what that might be missing compared to apples and squash and potatoes.
So
and exactly. And so not the Pop-Tarts, but the real foods. And it just is so satisfying, isn't it? To eat those real foods.
And I genuinely love getting my meal together every day and thinking about it. Sometimes, you know, just thinking about the day before what I'm going to have and planning for it. It's very enjoyable for me. And it's not just like quick grab this, eat this, because that's what I have to do. It's time to eat. But I don't do that at all, ever.
Well, I know your husband is happy that the carbs are back on the menu. Am I right?
Yeah. Oh, yes. I mean... Yes. And my son, you know, I always kind of made sure, but I would cook, like I just said about bacon, I would eat, bacon would be cooking in our house almost every day for something. And I don't think, I can't, maybe it's been like a month since I made it. I still make it. We still have it, but it was like the main event almost every night. So yeah,
gosh,
everybody's happy that we're not eating zucchini noodles, we're eating real pasta when we have pasta, and real rice, and, you know, real potatoes, and
not
stuff
the cauliflower
like
rice, not the
no, I no. love cauliflower, I just don't like that. And I had it so much, I think I
just like
eat
over
it in that capacity, yes. So, yeah. Like you said, I love to do roasted veggies a lot, and but yeah, we do eat, you know, I never thought I would say I eat a lot of carbs, but I do, I really do.
I love that. It just goes to show that we can, like I said, get really caught up in the diet dogma. You know, I just went through a period of diet brain and I gave it to myself and I was overly restricting things and starting to feel miserable. I overcompensated. My dad has not been doing well health-wise. And so I was like, well, diabetes runs in our family. I know that I don't clear fat well. I know that I do better with plants. So I love the Mastering Diabetes guys. They are brilliant. and their work mm-hmm. is great. But I went so far down that rabbit hole. I'm like, this is how I should eat. So I was eating like whole food, plant-based, low fat. Now my blood sugar was amazing. I felt great. Was wearing a CGM. My blood sugar literally, when I eat less fat, my blood sugar stays lower.
Wow.
They explain it in Mastering Diabetes. So I think that people that are diabetic, I think it's a great approach. But you have to really, it's when they say whole food, plant-based, low fat, they're not kidding. But I started to feel super diety and restricted. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait a minute. And I was like, not eating dairy and avoiding it. And I'm like, forget it. So I've stopped doing that again because I overcompensated. But we can do it in the – I mean, I didn't do it to lose weight. I didn't need to lose weight. But it was like health. And then you start going down mm-hmm. these rabbit holes of health and like, well, I need to be my very best healthy self. I'm Jen Stevens. And anyway, you get
That's
it.
That's a lot of pressure for you.
Well, it is a lot of pressure. But you understand from somebody who is can go down the food purist rabbit hole.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw myself doing it. And I'm like, what? But Chad was patient with me. He was eating what I cooked and whatever. He would microwave himself a chicken tender.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's easy to do even for me. So everybody, diet brain happens, even for Jen Stevens. But I'm out of that again. But I overcompensated from watching, you know, my dad with diabetes. And I'm like, well, I guess I need to eat whole food, plant-based, low fat forever. No, can't do it. Don't want to.
Yeah. So it's definitely, they're happy that we are eating a very balanced way of life now with our food.
I'm glad. And your weight is steady and you're enjoying the food. You didn't go off the rails and you did not gain back all the weight. So for everybody who's listening, if you've gotten yourself healthy, you know, I'm healthy. Lauren is healthy. We're not diabetic. We don't have issues that food is the root of. If you're feeling trapped in a restrictive paradigm for whatever reason, you might not have to stay there. Start introducing real food, you know, real food. I watched the Blue Zones documentaries and they're not over there restricting. They're really eating a lot of things.
Yes. I really enjoyed that documentary too. I watched that because from hearing from you.
But they're eating all the foods. They're not counting macros. They're not restricting either end of the spectrum. They're just, you know, Michael Pollan, eat food, not too much. Mostly plants. And, you know, as far as the mostly plants goes, obviously, people are going to vary on what makes them feel the best, but it sounds like pretty good advice to me.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about some of your non-scale victories that we might not have mentioned yet.
Yeah, I think I did write some down so that I would. We were talking. I got my hair cut yesterday. And,
yeah, before we started, everybody, I told Lauren how beautiful her hair was because it's like thick and luxurious and good hair.
I have a lot of hair and it's red and I don't color it. And I went to a new hairdresser just yesterday and she had to take, I get thinning shears to take the weight out because I have a lot of hair. And I said something to her about maybe doing a toner for like any of my grays. And she's like, no, you don't need it. And I'm 40. So I do have a few. But I don't color my hair. And I have a few gray hairs. They don't bother me. You can't see them unless you're real, real close up. So I do feel like intermittent fasting and autophagy have helped with that. And then what I was saying earlier, just the flexibility for my life and being a busy mom. Yesterday, I went and I volunteered at my son's school in the afternoon. I worked out in the morning. I had a haircut at noon. I didn't open my window until almost 6 o'clock last night. And I was fine. You know, one of the moms had to leave halfway through volunteering. She was like, I have to go eat. And like, it was like an emergency. And she's like one of my very good friends. And I just kind of, you know, sat there and helped them. They're doing a play for second grade. And so helping them get in and out of their costumes.
She had to go eat. Hunger was an emergency because her body is not metabolically flexible.
No, not at all. And it doesn't mean that I don't get hungry, but I know it will pass. And you always say it's not an emergency and it's not for me. And so yesterday I was able to go, I think I was 23 hours when I opened yesterday. And today I think I'm going to probably eat lunch because it's not a normal thing, but I do eat lunch maybe 2 to 3 times a week. Actually, from one of your other podcasts that just came out a couple weeks ago, or no, it's your new podcast.
Fast Feast Repeat. Yeah.
Yes. One of the guests said, I think it was like the tip of the week where she said, I eat and then I kind of quote unquote close and then I eat again. And I do that too, because sometimes I need to eat more food and I need to eat a substantial amount and then I stop and then I eat again with my family for dinner. But my window is usually between like 1:30 to 7 or 7:30 at night.
That's really what mine has gravitated to without thinking about it. Usually 2 to 7 probably is my standard, but it can be later if I'm busy. And probably what I eat at 2 o'clock, people would consider a meal, although I call it my snack. So, but it doesn't matter what we call it, but you know.
Yeah. And then my blood work, I just had my yearly physical and all my blood work was completely normal. My fasting glucose was 88, so they didn't order me an A1C, but the last time I had my A1C checked last year was 4.8, which is totally
excellent.
Within normal. Yeah, within normal limits. And I don't know. I feel really good. I don't have a lot of aches and pains. I think I do contribute that to, you know, making sure what, you know, what I'm eating in my window is good food, and what I want to eat. And then having that structure of intermittent fasting is, as I consider, an on-scale victory, really, just of being able to maintain that structure.
But it feels good, right? You know, for anybody who's new, because this episode's coming out in early January 2024. And so we'll have a lot of people, you know, the beginning of the new year, people are starting their new year, new you, right? It's the time of the year. And so maybe they're new to intermittent fasting and they can't imagine what life is going to be like. Like for you, you're in year 5, did you say? I'm trying to do the math.
Yes, almost year 6. So right now.
Mm-hmm. And it actually is a positive. It doesn't feel like a bad thing to have a daily eating window and your daily fasting time. It actually gives a pleasant kind of structure to the day, right?
Yeah, I don't feel like I'm a prisoner to, you know, whatever, to this, you know, way of life or these rules. It helps me. It structures me. It gives me a compass, so to say.
Yeah. Well, that was like me with my whole like diet brain experience that I just went through, showing you, yes, even Jen Stevens has moments, but you know, I felt like a prisoner. And so that's how you know something is wrong for you. If it feels like a prison. And then like last night I put Parmesan cheese on our dinner and it was so good. And
yeah.
Like delicious. I love Parmesan cheese. You know, that sounds so crazy.
It does, but I did the same thing. I put sour cream on my taco salad last night. I don't really, I do limit there. I feel like I don't do great if I have a lot. I was like, I kind of want sour cream tonight. And I had sour cream. And I was fine.
I think for me, I got to find the balance, because I did see on my CGM that if I ate, I did some experiments. If I eat a lot of fat, like I did a little challenge and I ate like soup with sausage in it and cream and butter on the bread, my blood sugar goes up and stays up all night while I'm sleeping, like over 100.
Oh, wow.
And that's exactly what they say in Mastering Diabetes, that, you know, it's the fat. But see, I don't clear fat well. I learned that from Zoe. Mm-hmm. So I don't clear fat well. So if I'm not clearing it, it makes sense that it might be in there gunking stuff up longer. So I can overcompensate and say, well, then I can never have sausage or cream or cheese. Or maybe I just don't use as much.
So right.
That's the lesson. You know, we can go from one extreme to the other. You can have sour cream on your taco salad without having too much sour cream.
Yes.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
So that's the key.
Yeah. And I was having the taco salad. My son was having, he loves walking tacos. I don't know if it's like a new thing they have at their school lunch, but it's basically, you know, chips with the ground turkey and cheese and, you know, so whatever it
nachos,
takes.
It sounds like nachos.
It's basically nachos, but yeah, exactly. Whatever it takes to get him to eat, you know, turkey and, you know, meat and he's, you know, kids are hard with their palates. That's all I have to say. But yeah, I had a few chips as well, but you know, I ate, you know, I think you always say like crowd it out, eat the good stuff first. And if you want something afterwards, eat it. But I don't usually want it. I always put fresh fruit on the table when we're eating. And before when I was doing keto, I was only buying fruit for my son. You know, I was like, oh, what's this for? You know, this isn't good for you. But no, I sliced apples and we had grapes last night. And I always, not always, a lot of times I have dates afterwards. Yeah, yeah. I have kiwi. You mentioned something about the fiber. I just really watch my fiber because I have, it's a hereditary diverticulitis.
Oh, so you need to have less fiber. You need to not go over or?
No, actually, I know there's a lot of different.
Yeah. Confusing.
Thought. It is confusing. And I had, in May, I had a diverticulitis, episode and I was really sick. I almost got hospitalized, but because my husband worked at the hospital, they were able to give me, they're like, we'll try you at home with these triple antibiotics. And, you know, and if you don't get better, you need to come in for IV.
So you follow the more fiber to keep it all cleaned out.
I do now, but I didn't then. I watched it, but I didn't know that. But now I eat a lot more fiber. I try to make sure, because if you're constipated, there's out pouches. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what I would think too, but I wanted to make sure because, you know, there's definite trains of thought. Have zero fiber. That'll be better. But, you know, and actually maybe for some gut, maybe. But I agree with you on the fiber.
So, so I try to do, I try to open with something fermented a lot of times, kimchi or something like that, that kind of has like that acidy.
Yum.
To start, you know, the probiotics and the prebiotics kind of naturally too. So,
yeah, I think that's super important. You know, we want to feed the gut well, because really that's where our health really begins in the gut. And the more we learn about it, the more that we realize that really, really is true. So my latest obsession is oranges. I'm eating navel oranges all the time.
Have you tried golden kiwis? Do you have them?
No. I have never eaten a kiwi. I don't like the look of them. I don't know what it is, but I have never tried it. So tell me about the golden kiwi, especially.
So when I was sick, my mom's also a nurse. And she was like, I read this research study about constipation and diverticulitis and kiwis. And so she sent me the study and it's more on the green kiwis, but the golden kiwis are just as good for you. And so they help with constipation, but also they have, I think, triple the amount of vitamin C that an orange has.
Okay.
And the golden kiwis are a lot sweeter. And so you cut them in half and you can just scoop them out with a spoon. And I eat two almost every night.
Well, I'm going to have to try it then. That's for whatever reason, I think I might have tried it before in like a cut up salad. You know how they'll do like a fruit salad? Those always also have melon and I don't like melon. But I'm going to be inspired to try a kiwi.
Yeah. See what I think. Some people don't like the mouthfeel from the green ones, but these are a little bit, they're subtler and they're sweeter. So
would it be because of the seeds in there?
Yeah.
See, that wouldn't bother me.
Okay.
Because I love blackberry preserves that have the seeds in them still. Like, I like that little bit of crunch. All right. So you've inspired
like
me. I'm going to try the kiwi. But, you know, I never really ate fruit. And I'm not really sure why. But now I'm, like, opening myself up to it. Like, when we were at the grocery store yesterday with Will, we got bananas. And so I'm, like, enjoying bananas. Now, I did get something that is going to be a rarer treat. They had in the frozen section these little – it's like frozen banana pieces. They're like the size of like a quarter.
And then it's
got peanut butter on it and chocolate. Oh. So it's like the size of a quarter and like literally one. I had one after dinner last night and I'm like, okay. And then I hid them so Chad will never see them. That doesn't know that we have them.
Isn't that funny? Because it's like, you want your food. They can eat, you know. I'm like,
hey, whatever you want, Chad. This is mine. Yeah. He also hides chocolate. Like, I'm not interested in a chocolate bar. Whatever it is, he has stashed away, like, over the refrigerator. That's where his whole little weird stash of stuff is. Yeah. He'll pull out his little chocolate bar. I hear him rustling with it. That doesn't call to me. But these bananas, I mean, that's the thing. It's a pretty healthy little dessert snack.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a little quarter-sized banana, frozen, peanut butter, chocolate. Oh, my gosh. I can't remember the brand really name. Good. I'd never seen them before, but I'm like, all right, this is my new thing. But one is enough. You know, I don't feel like I need to eat the whole bag or anything.
Yes, yes.
Well, I love that you are feeling good with your foods and it didn't make you gain all the way back. That's the part I really want to keep emphasizing. We get afraid. We're afraid. And you're like, me adding a little dairy isn't going to turn me diabetic, right? So,
no.
It's just a matter of, you know, if you have health problems, you have to maybe change what you're eating. If you have, you know, diabetes, yes, someone with diabetes needs to figure out, you know, what can you do to eat for a way that is, you know, food is medicine, right? But when we're healthy, we should not get so caught up in the restrictive paradigms.
Agreed.
So you talked about you love Pilates. What other kinds of activities do you like to do to keep yourself strong?
So, yeah, I do. I go to a workout facility that I also teach at. And so we, every morning, Monday through Friday, we have a workout group that meets at 8:30. So we drop the kids off at school and then we have workout, and we usually do a group workout from 8:30 to 9:15-ish. And then there's a cardio choice. You can either, there's a spin class, so on spin bikes. So sometimes I take that, and sometimes I just do a little steady state cardio. There's just a lot of research about, you know, zone two, keeping your heart rate in that quote unquote fat burn zone is just good for your heart. So I do a couple miles a couple times a week. And then on Fridays and Sundays, I teach my own class. So I teach a class. It's a 45-minute class, and it's actually geared towards, if anybody's heard of hot Pilates, so it's supposed to be in like a heated room, and so you get, and it's Tabata style, so it means it's sets of eight, and so you do same exercise for, you know, eight rounds, but, you know, you get 30 seconds on with a five-second break, so it's kind of intense, but I love it, and it's really helped me, you know, with my core, you know, kind of developing those core muscles back after having a baby, you know, even though he's seven. they should be back by now. But I like it. And it keeps me, you know, every week I have to write a new program and, you know, do a playlist to go with it. And so it's a little fun, you know, kind of thing.
It sounds like fun. And yeah.
It is. And then I do, I work for a doctor there. And so I work 2 days a week usually doing pain injections with him. So I don't work in the cardiac ICU anymore, or operating room anymore. So I do something else. But
well, that sounds like a really, it sounds great. You have like the best of all the worlds.
Yeah,
it is. That really is. That really is. So what does your husband think about intermittent fasting?
So he is, of course, always supportive of what I want to do. There's been times where, you know, he has called it intermittent starvation, which, you know, it's
All right, bless his heart on that one.
He thinks he's funny. Yeah. But he does dabble in it. He does try it from time to time. But he knows it's what I want to do, and he's happy with it. If it makes me happy, then, you know, he doesn't comment on it.
Happy wife, happy life.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I try to structure when I eat around when my family's going to be around. So I always have dinner with them, and except on that one, work Wednesdays. And so Wednesdays, I just have a big lunch and that's it. So I usually fast for 24 hours Wednesdays. And then my husband's home with my son, and they have their own dinner together. And because when I get home, it's not too late, but it's just too late to eat. So it's usually about 7:30, and then it's busy time. I got to get my kid ready for the shower and the nighttime routine. And it's just, I like to sit down and enjoy my food. And if I don't have that opportunity, I just don't want to eat. So
I get it. So I love that you've structured your week around your activities, but it's flexible. It's not exactly the same day to day, but you have a comfortable routine and you just go with it. Some days your window's longer, some days it's shorter, sometimes your fast is longer, sometimes the fast is shorter, but it's no fuss, no muss, no stress.
Right. And I try to, you know, I listen to what you say. I always do, for the most part, it's always 16 hours. It's more towards 18 to 19 hours by the time, just how the time works out. And if I eat lunch that day, I usually open around 1:30. I have my lunch, and then I have to go pick up my kid from school by 3:00. And then it's just busy. We eat dinner and I close by 7:30. And then if I don't eat lunch that day, I have a bigger dinner. And then, you know, it's a balance. I know what I need the next day if I didn't eat. And sometimes it is 3 days in a row of only having dinner. And then I know I need to have a lunch and a dinner the next day. And I know that I don't really like to go to bed with a big, full belly. So I try to always cut it off by 7:30 if I can. But I don't get overly concerned with the time. I try to do, it's about a 5 to 6 hour fast most days.
Window.
Yes, yes.
The 5 hour fast sounds like the baby diet, right?
Yeah.
Babies, they eat all the time.
Exactly,
but yeah.
Exactly.
So I love that it's flexible and that you let it fit your life. You're not overly rigid. You have your eye on it. You're not exactly. See, that's the key, is finding that sweet spot. We don't want to be so overly rigid, but we also don't want to be so, you know, overly loosey-goosey. We got to find the balance in the middle that lets you live your life the way you want to live it, eat the foods that make you feel great, and figure out what those are, and have the lifestyle that feels like you want to keep doing it. If you hate it, something's not right. And that's really, I think, the key. You got to tweak it till it's easy. Tweak it till you love it.
And I look forward to when, you know, I do Fridays and Saturdays. We do normally eat, I know I cook every other day, but I do normally eat something from out. And I look forward to Sunday when I'm going to cook a big Sunday dinner and I'm going to fast that whole day and then eat my, you know, good nutritious food. Not to say I didn't enjoy that we ate pizza the night before, but I can feel it differently in my body, but I still do it. I still do it once a week. Usually I have, you know, I have my pizza and my real Pepsi. I always look forward to my mini Pepsi that I have on Friday nights. So I have,
I had a Pepsi this week. I felt queasy. It was like Pepsi that had been in my refrigerator for like 2 years from when we had the condo that we don't even have anymore. And I like moved it. I don't know why I had it. It was like Pepsi with real sugar. I had a little bit of an upset stomach. We went out and had fried seafood. And it made me feel queasy. The next day, my stomach was like, no. So I pulled that Pepsi out and I was drinking it. And Chad said, what in the world are you drinking? I'm like, it's that last Pepsi from 2 years ago. But it fixed it up, whatever it was. But it was like Pepsi with real sugar. I needed it. I don't know why, but whatever, I did.
Yeah.
So we are almost out of time. What would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting, or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
So I wrote this down a couple days ago. I just said, don't be dogmatic, right? Don't think that because this is the way you're going to structure your eating window, or you're going to structure your fast, or the way you're going to structure your food, in my case, have an open mind and see what works for you. Because I never thought I would say that I eat the way that I eat today and be happy and healthy about it. But I'm so glad that I opened my eyes a little bit more to other ways of eating and fasting. And so fasting is always going to be there. Always try to stick to the 16 if you can, because that will really get you. And when people say it's too hard, it's still hard for me too. Sometimes I get hungry and I feel like I have to eat, but just give yourself a little bit more time. Get to that 16 hours. Usually that 18 hour mark is when it feels hard, and then the hard goes away again.
Right.
So I would just say, just don't be dogmatic with your time, your food choices, or the way you move your body, because everything ebbs and flows. And as you get older, you need different things. And so just try to listen to your body too.
I love that. Well, Lauren, it has been such a pleasure to talk to you today. And thank you so much for telling your story.
Thanks, Jen.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com. And I'll add you to the lineup. That's GIN@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.